I have to confess to you that this is a gospel that makes me smile all the time because of a story that was told to me about a minister who, and you know, in terms of congregational ministers, they have a morning service and usually an afternoon service. And this minister would diligently work on his homilies, his sermons, and he would have them posted outside on the bulletin board. And diligently working on his sermons, he then gave it to the maintenance man, who went out and posted it on the bulletin board for everybody to see. And it said, "The morning service, Jesus walks on water. The afternoon service and theme, the search for Jesus." You know, when we take a look at the aspect of walking on water, that's a phrase that literally has crept its way into our even secular vocabulary. As you know, I spent 23 years in the military and the reserves and the army, and as we know in sports parlances, we call a desperation pass that's kind of thrown, we call that a Hail Mary pass, right? Well, in the military, someone who receives a tremendous evaluation receives a walk on water evaluation. You know, so it literally in the common parlances. But this is a wonderful text, the gospel text. In fact, that First Kings is a wonderful text also. I wish I could just have enough time to preach on both of them, but I have to choose one, so we're going to take a look at the gospel. But listen to the whispers in your life. Huh? Listen to the whispers. Elijah, the greatest of all prophets, goes and makes his way into the cave because he's being pursued. Why? He has just slain 400 of the prophets of Baal, and now he's on the lam. He's making his way. The Lord confronts him. "Why are you hiding? You know, well, I'm frightened." He says, "God's going to pass." And all the ancient signs of the power of God is here in this text. You know, wind, earthquake, fire. But God's never seen in those by Elijah. Then there's the gentle whisper. And what does he do? He takes his cloak, hides his face, because to look upon the face of God was to die. He knew in the whispers it was God speaking to him, God's presence. Whispers in every one of our lives. Whispers in every one of our lives, God confronting us. But we take a look at the wonderful aspect of the walk on water, and what I would hope to kind of say to you is this is a microcosm of the spiritual life. You know, microcosm of the spiritual. Every one of us is seen in that confrontation with Peter in this. And Peter is perfect for us, because when Peter is good, he's wonderful. "No, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "Oh, Peter, only God the Father has revealed this to you. Blessed are you." The same Peter denies him three times. The same Peter whose blusterous presence at the Last Supper. "Oh, don't wash me, Lord." "Oh, Peter, unless you're washed, you can't follow me. Unless you understand what I'm doing, you can't follow me." That same Peter who says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God," right in the next passage, right after in Matthew's gospel, in that little pericope, it's the same Peter when Jesus says, "I've got to go suffer, I've got to die, the Son of Man has to do this, go to Jerusalem, do that." Peter comes up to him and says, "Oh, don't say that, Lord. You're scaring people away." And what does Jesus say to the same Peter? "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me." So he's like us. When we're good, we're really very good. We're right in tune. And when we're bad, we're awful. You know, we're just awful. But the spiritual life. You take a look. Jesus comes out and pursues those disciples who literally are being caught in that boat and being caught by literally the climate conditions, the weather. God, from his very beginning, when we take a look at the incarnation, has pursued us. It's a generous love of God that comes into the world through his Son. God, who is already part of the whispers of our very lives, gives us the perfect example of his presence in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. And when you take a look at it, God is constantly pursuing us. What a crazy God we have in terms of the love for us, this all-powerful, all-wonderful being loves you in particular. Loves you in particular. And here he gives us, he empties himself into his Son, who then pursues us. And we see Jesus pursuing Peter, walking on the water towards those disciples. And when we are confronted with God, what happens to us? We're fearful. You know, I kind of deny it. It's a ghost. It's not really real. Oh, but it really is. And if it is, Lord, then call me to come to you. Okay, come on, come. And then it takes that first initial step outside the boat. Imagine how Peter must have felt, how we would have felt. Lord's calling you to come. To be able to take that foot, go outside of that boat, and put it on the water. And he's walking on the water. We know that immediately in terms of our spiritual life. When we know the initial invitation comes and we begin to walk, we understand the power of Jesus immediately. The power of Jesus in our lives. The power of his love to heal, to bind the wounds sometimes of our suffering, whether it be physical or psychological. We know the power of Jesus. The ecstasy of that love that we know our God is involved with us. And the great strength that we have through it. We put that foot down. And even in this world, for all of us, we begin to walk. But what happens? Like all things, we become distracted. The world kind of caves in on us. Things don't always go our way. And it's those other waves that are washing against our ankles. It's the wind that suddenly is coming in. And what does Peter do? He takes his eyes off of Jesus. He takes his eyes off of Jesus. And once he takes his eyes off of Jesus, he begins to sink in the materiality of this world. It's no longer the power of Jesus that is urging Peter on, but his worries, his fears, that now immobilize him, and he begins to sink. Every one of us probably can take a portion of our lives, or maybe a few portions of our lives, and see oftentimes when we have taken our eyes away from the Lord, when we've allowed the world to cave in on us, when we've allowed our own personal worries and pressures to take us away from our eyes being fixed on Jesus, on our God, and we sink. But the wonderful aspect of it is the call. And that is the call that all of us have the ability to make. Jesus, save me. Save me. And in that great love of the Lord, he reaches out and he grabs Peter. And he brings him to the safety of the boat. Save me, Lord. You know, we have oftentimes in our modern parlance lost the understanding of Jesus as Savior. You know, I have nothing against the wonderful friendship of the Lord, but friendship demands something. Friendship demands a relationship and a bond. We are not equal to God. God is God. We are his creatures. And to understand the generous love of God, we have to understand ourselves and our own limitations. And our own sinfulness could never have been wiped away. Our indebtedness to God could never have been wiped away by us. It took one like Jesus, his Son, who empties himself into the world. And now understand, he saves you. He saves us. He is the Savior. And he offers us a life beyond this world. Oh, we are never to ignore the world in which we are in. In fact, we are charged to be representatives and witnesses of Christ in this world. When he gives you the power of this love, his love in your life, you are charged, I am charged to share that love with others. Those that surround me, those outside. This is the understanding of our own Catholicism, that we have brothers and sisters and connected in solidarity to the entire world. But we have to understand that the movement is always through the power of Jesus and the reliance upon him to save, and to do it in a manner that God and he chooses to do, and not the way we demand. So there's that surrender of understanding that Jesus accompanies us in this world, and he is our Savior. He saves us just as real as he pulled Peter right into that boat and saved him. He saves us. He saves us. And what do you say then when you're confronted with that aspect of understanding this generous God's love in your life? What do you do? What do you say? What do you say to that person? Truly, you are the Son of God. You make holy those things in this life. So right from the struggles and the sufferings in our own life, we know God accompanies us. We know we are in his hands. We know immediately also that even when confronted ultimately with death itself, that God reaches down through that person and love of Jesus, and he saves us. He gives us that promised life that we know. He fulfills the whispers that we know are present to us all. God bless all of you, and may you walk on waters calmly in the hands of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.